Welcome back to the News for Gamers Podcast Radio for December 10th, 2007. And in the studio this week, we have Mr. Gamers Con, Jason Gambrell is with us.
I said hey.
That's the same one he did last week.
Yeah, I
did. He's just doing a repeat for you.
Yeah, and exactly.
Also with us, we have the Wombat, Ryan Wombold.
I'm back, folks. And Kanan Lynch Deadman is the most perfect game ever created.
Oh, you had to come back.
So, sorry, there was a guy outside in a trench coat told me he'd give me $100 for every good thing I said about Kanan Lynch.
Kanan Lynch.
And if you didn't say anything, you were fired.
Right. So, well, hey.
I'm
all about the money.
Well, we have a good show this week, which is a good thing because it's going to have to tie you over for a couple weeks.
Yes.
Because we won't be here next
week. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's where I'll be.
Yeah.
I'll still be sleeping during the podcast next week.
Yeah. Sleeping, huh?
Sleeping. That's the code word to kids these days, you know.
Gotcha.
All right.
That's the code word.
So we're going to jump into the show. We got a pretty good show. We got some good news. We got some good game talk. And also at the end of the show, we're gonna break down our personal top 10 games of the year between the three of us. And then when we come back from the little break we're about to take, we're going to do the Game of the Year Awards, which would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So we're going to start off with what's fondling your console. Since you weren't here last week, I'll start off with the Wombat.
Yes! let's see. What have I been playing over the last 2 weeks? Well, I played quite a bit more of SmackDown vs. Raw, both on the PSP and the PS3, so I could get my reviews up last week. If you read my reviews, which were posted on N4G and were on ZTGameDomain.com, you would know what my scores were. The next-gen version, it's solid. It's a step back from last year, unfortunately. The career mode's definitely not as good as it was last year. They mixed it up with this crazy 24/7 mode, and it's got a lot of problems. It's not nearly as fun and exciting as last year's was, but the gameplay actually is a step forward this year in the next-gen versions. Controls a lot better this year. It's a lot more fluid to go from one move to the next. And you can set stuff on fire.
Ooh,
you can
snap.
Set tables on fire and throw people through them, which just adds like 3 points to the review.
It adds three points.
If you're a WWE fan, you might be slightly disappointed in the career mode, and unfortunately, some of the bugs that have plagued it in the years past are back. The AI is still kind of dumb, and there's still some slight collision and clipping issues. But it's definitely, from a gameplay standpoint, it takes a step forward. On the PSP, unfortunately, it's not quite as good. It's got everything that the next gen versions have. All the modes, which is impressive in and of itself, and it actually has three extra legends. The PSP version does, so it actually has more content than the next gen versions
legends?
Do. Sergeant Slaughter, Eddie Guerrero, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart are the extra legends on the PSP
can
version.
Can you make the Heart Foundation?
You can make the Heart Foundation.
Well, sweet nectar.
Real men
wear pink.
Unfortunately, and I don't know if it's just due to the limitations of the PSP hardware, but the AI and the collision and clipping, like I said, they're minor issues on the next gen versions, but on the PSP versions, they're pretty noticeable. I said in my review that I had one match where I literally my opponent was standing holding a steel chair, and I literally stood there punching, just whiffing in the air, like trying to hit him, and he's just standing there with a steel chair, and I'm trying to hit him, and I can't even get close.
That's awesome.
And then a couple times where your guy gets turned around just because of the control scheme on the PSP, you have to use the D-pad instead of the analog stick. Overall, it's not. I only scored it a point lower than the next gen versions, just because, like I said, it's pretty impressive that they were able to cram more content into the PSP version than the next gen versions. And the gameplay is similar. Just the control scheme hurts it, and those issues hurt it. But other than that, I played a little bit of Fire Pro Wrestling as well, also for review. But hopefully that will be up tomorrow or Tuesday. Hopefully I can get that one in. And I think I talked about it last time I was on the cast, but it's fantastic to actually have an English language version of Fire Pro. Anybody that's ever played it, it's completely fantastic. It's the most customizable wrestling game on the market, and it plays like the old Super Nintendo isometric 2D wrestling games, and it's a blast. So I've been playing that a little bit. And,
a lot of men in their underwear groveling.
A lot of sweaty, oily men in their underwear. It's
and you can give them mohawks.
You can give them mohawks.
That's awesome.
So Gambus's fantasies can finally be realized.
Oh.
Sweaty men in mohawks.
Well, you need to revise your game of the year, less money.
But also, I played quite a bit more Uncharted, actually, and still, it's one. It's probably. Well, you'll find out in my top 10 list later, but it's pretty much tied for me in terms of immersion, best game of the year as far as immersing you in the experience. The story is fantastic. The characters are fantastic. It's just all around awesome.
We talked a little bit about Uncharted last week, and I had a couple beefs with it, with, you know, like having to pick up weapons.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
I don't like that.
That's if it's just ammo, where you already have the weapon, and all you're doing is picking up ammo. I don't understand why it's not auto pickup.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge deal, obviously, but that is, it's a little frustrating. But and you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of people saying, and this is the truth. That the puzzle elements and the platforming elements are too easy.
They're pretty linear.
They're very. It's very easy to kind of see where you're going with it, but there's still, you know, that it's balanced out by the fact that the scenery and the camera angles during the puzzle and platforming elements usually enough to add some drama where there really isn't any. There's a false sense of drama when. You know, you have an easy platforming puzzle, but the camera pans up and shows you platforming over a giant waterfall. That does quite a bit to add to the excitement. So
yeah,
I
love that scene.
So yeah, I don't have as big a gripe with the platforming being too easy. The only thing that really keeps it from pushing to the top, unfortunately, is it's very linear. Number one,
yeah, it's very
linear. And number two, I just when I'm playing it, I can't shake the fact that it while it's fantastic at everything it does, it doesn't really do anything that other games haven't done. Yeah. It kind of takes everything that a lot of other series have done, like Tomb Raider, God of War, Gears of War. Prince of Persia, it kind of takes everything that these games have done and puts them all into one package and adds a whole lot of polish, and it makes for an incredible game, but it just doesn't have that edge to push it to my game of the year. That's my only real criticism with it. I don't even know if I can convey that. It's just the feeling that I get when I play it.
He's Johnny Generic. It's just a mixture of a bunch of stuff that's done really well, but the fact that it's all done really well makes it
right.
Fun. So it's kind of like Halo 3.
Yeah.
That's a
good
comparison. But Halo 3 doesn't do anything new.
Right.
Doesn't do anything special.
Well, it does. I mean, the only really new thing is the video. Nobody's done the whole videotaping, but
it's not part of the game.
Right,
but,
right.
And you look at it, and you look at all that stuff, and you're like, on its own, blah.
Right.
What has it done for me lately?
But you put
it all together, and it's one hell of a package.
Right.
Which is exactly what Uncharted.
You know, it really Uncharted gets a lot of bonus, at least in my book, for the character development because, I mean, if it didn't have the cast of characters that it has, I definitely wouldn't score it as high as I would score it now. If it was, you know, just kind of your generic. Tomb Raiden guy, you know, it would be a lot different.
It looked like it was
right.
Larry Croft,
right?
Yeah,
but it really, because of the character development, it really boosts the gameplay experience, at least in my opinion. And I played Mass Effect quite a bit more, which is just amazing. But I'm a sucker for BioWare RPGs, so I loved, even though some people were disappointed in Jade Empire, I love Jade Empire. I played through it twice. Mass Effect is fantastic to me so far. I love, once again, the cast of characters and everything that it does. It does so well. Now, granted, it's not perfect by a long shot.
Even,
no.
But it's so, once again, immersive, and it has such a great story. And I enjoy the combat just because it's not your, you know, kind of archetypical RPG, let us hit, then they hit, then let us hit, then they hit. It really does, it plays like a dumbed-down third-person shooter, but it does it just right enough, in my opinion, to make it fit within the context of the game. So that's fantastic. I've been playing Assassin's Creed, which I still think is great, regardless of anyone else's opinion. You know, it's slightly repetitive, but, I mean, an argument could be made for every game that we're about to list that it's slightly repetitive.
Well, yeah.
And, I mean, granted, Assassin's Creed is maybe a little more repetitive than they are, but just the setting and everything else makes it a really solid game.
Keeps me playing Assassin's Creed, more or less, is the setting.
Right.
And the idea of what you do.
Right.
But what you do is starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah.
And I'm only in the second city.
Right.
And I'm frustrated with the AI, and I'm frustrated, like, when I'm trying to get away from people, sometimes that he'll grab onto the wrong thing that I don't want him to grab onto. And I am frustrated with it. I know that if anybody's read our site in the last couple of days, we had a review posted up.
Yeah.
And it got a 6.5 from the guy that reviewed it. And now, granted, I don't agree with the score. I can understand where he's coming from.
Right.
Entirely, I understand where he's coming from. It is, to me, it was playing it more bumped it off my top games of the year list.
Right.
It really did. And it's sad because I really enjoy the game. It just goes to show you that there's too much other great stuff.
Right. And, I mean, the other thing, I'm not going to, there's no way I could lie and say that the fact that I was so hyped up for it hasn't helped my perspective on the game, because, you know, I was really looking forward to Assassin's Creed, and unlike a lot of people who were really looking forward to it, I actually didn't come away as disappointed as some of them did, because it pretty much, I mean, it met my expectations, because even though I was really hyped up for it, I definitely wasn't expecting it to be anything that it's not.
It's
so,
definitely not anything that it's not.
Right.
You know exactly what the game is from the minute you turn it on.
Right, right. So. And, you know, I mean, obviously I'm not going to disagree with anybody that scores it, you know, anywhere from, I don't agree with 6.5, but anywhere between 7, 7.5, and 8, 8.5, I wouldn't disagree with a score. You know, anything higher than that I would probably disagree with, anything lower than that I would disagree with. But it's still, just for sheer enjoyment, it's one of my favorite games of the year. And then I think the only other thing that I played, well, I played a little more Call of Duty 4, which is also really, really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
I played, I'm trying to get through this quickly. I played, now I'm trying to get through this quickly now that I've wasted a whole lot of time. I played a little more Mario Galaxy, which is also really, really good. And what else did I play? Something else. Oh, Castlevania, Dracula X on the PSP, which is also really, really good. It's really, really hard, but it's really, really good. So
sounds like
Contra
for the DS.
Yeah,
I just reviewed that last week. That is the most unrelenting game I've played in
a long
time.
I have yet to experience a game so far this year that made me curse more in frustration than Castlevania has so far, because it's
hard. You should play Contra, because the first thing and the most obvious thing that'll frustrate the piss, it doesn't save.
Oh, that's bad.
It saves your unlockables and all that stuff, but during standard mission structure, there is no saving. There is no, I made it to level 2, I can quit. No,
right.
No. Run out
it's
of
old
lives.
School.
Hey, guess what? You start back at the beginning.
Right.
Congratulations.
It's old school.
Old school.
That's the way I feel about Castlevania is that if I would have been playing it as a 12-year-old kid, when I was a 12-year-old kid, I probably wouldn't think it's as hard.
No.
But we've been kind of weaned off the teeth of difficult games over the last 10 years. So.
That's the funny thing about Kane and Lynch that made me laugh when people complained about it. They were like, oh, it's broken. The save system's broken because you can only save after every chapter. I'm like, Okay.
Welcome to the world of the hardcore gamer before 1995 or 6.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, you can't save anywhere? This game blows.
Yeah, people are spoiled by that, and I'm one of them.
Oh, I'm very much oh, like, yeah. The first time I quit Kane and Lynch, I was in the middle of a chapter, and I come back, and I'm at the beginning of the chapter, I'm like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, we've been spoiled. Absolutely spoiled.
So does that pretty much wrap up your week?
Yeah, my 2 weeks.
You've been gone 2 weeks.
So. Yeah, so sorry to. You had a lot of catching
sorry to take up
to
everybody's time and step on everybody's toes, but I had a lot of stuff that I played. So.
Let's
oh, that's okay, man.
Y'all.
You can take all the time you need, man.
All the time in the world.
Let's move on to Mr. Khan. What have you been playing this week?
I only played like 2 games this week.
You only played 3 last week. I mean, are you even a gamer anymore?
yes, I am. Yes, I am. I played a little bit of Planet Puzzle League.
Planet for the DS.
Yeah, for the DS. Quite exciting. You know, it's like puzzles.
That's going on the back of the box right there.
That's going. It's like puzzles.
It's like, quite exciting. It's like puzzles.
It's like puzzles.
Says yeah. Game is Con from N4G Podcast Radio.
Exactly. But yeah, Planet Puzzle League, always like to return to that to chill out and relax. And then the other game that I played this week was Mass Effect.
Woot. I beat that game.
So did you finally, I didn't get to listen to the podcast last week, did you finally get your Xbox back?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. And his network adapter's broken now, so he can't log on to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the fall update, you're not going to have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, but Mass Effect, a masterpiece.
So how many hours are you in now?
13.
Wow. He has more hours in the game than I do, and I've beat it.
Wow.
And I'm
you rushed through it.
I did rush through it because I was tired of going on the internet and having to avoid spoilers.
Oh,
it was
gotcha.
Really the big thing. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It's going to end exactly how you expect it to end.
Yeah.
And that was probably the most disappointing part because the story build up to it was like, ooh, yeah, oh, shit.
Well, it is a planned trilogy, so.
Yeah, and you could see that in the ending. I mean, you really can.
Don't.
I'm not going to say it.
Right.
I'm not going to come out and say, hey, guess what happened?
Be like, I am your father. But,
yeah. Okay. This ain't Star Wars.
Yeah. But, does it have like an ending, kind of like in Lord of the Rings, how you think it's going to go to another scene, and then it just ends?
Or like Halo 2?
Or like Halo 2.
You know, I rewatched the Halo 2 ending the other day on online, and man, I forgot how pissed I was when the end of that game came along.
Mass Effect doesn't end like that. Mass Effect actually ends with the possibility of a sequel, but it could end right there.
Gotcha.
I mean, it can go either way, and I think that was an out for them.
So in other words, it was a safe ending.
It was a very safe ending.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, Mass Effect, quite an ingenious game.
Indeed.
Not too many games can you actually talk a person out of committing suicide.
Very true.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Oh, sorry. There's a part where you talk this like...
Stop. Did it?
Yeah.
You don't want to ruin it for anybody. You can just say...
That's all you got to say.
Stop from committing suicide.
Yeah,
I'm on my second time playing through, and this time I'm going to take my time and go through it. I just wanted to get to the... I just wanted to see the ending, just to get it out of the way, you know.
But there's been a couple things that have been frustrating me about the game. Obviously, the frame rate issue.
Yeah.
The frame rate issue is annoying.
Yeah. I hate going into a room and there's like 5 or 6 Geth, and when they start firing, the whole game is just like
slows to a crawl.
What kills me is when it slows down when an enemy's running at you, and then when it picks back up, he's gone. He's behind you.
Right.
I'm like, what? Where the hell did he go?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the frame rate issues are definitely a problem.
And I tell you, the parts in the game that really, really piss me off, the boss battles.
You can elaborate?
Yeah.
It's like leaving it
the
silent.
Boss battles. Anyways.
I was trying to be dramatic, man. I was trying to be like,
he was waiting for music to kick in. The boss battles. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the
he was waiting for Dragon Force to kick in.
He was waiting for Bob Barker to show up.
Because the boss battles really suck.
They do. They really suck in this game because when you encounter a boss, here's a part of the reason why it sucks. Well, you get the frame rate issue, which is prevalent when you have like more than like five or six characters
on screen
screen at one time. The boss characters usually have their own band of goons with them.
They have the crazy 88.
Yeah, the freaking crazy 88, man. And when you fight the boss can kill you in one hit most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's like right when the boss appears, it's like, slow down, you're dead. It's like you saw like five frames, and the fifth frame was the boss attacking your character and you dropping dead.
See, I haven't had that much frame rate problem. I mean, I've had frame rate problems, but they haven't been that bad for me so far.
There's a boss in the game that literally took me an hour of repetitively playing over and over and over and over until I was lucky enough to kill him.
Wow.
Because the frame rate was so bad, and then on top of that, one hit kill from the boss or whatever.
I know your character can't take a lot of damage in the game until you get your shields built up.
Right.
Yeah. That's part of my complaint, is that with Mass Effect, an RPG, all the depth of, like, you know, that comes with the being an RPG is in the customization of the characters, you know, of improving the weapons, improving your armor, and stuff like that. But the gameplay, I love Mass Effect and everything. I really love it. I think it's a masterpiece, but it's a very, very flawed masterpiece.
Absolutely. And I guess to me, I don't really mind the whole your character can't take much damage thing, because to me Mass Effect is almost two games in one. It's an RPG, but then it's a third person shooter that's more in the vein of Ghost Recon or Rainbow Six than it is in the vein of Gears of War, where your guy can take, 20 hits before he's dead.
Yeah.
It's more in the vein of Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon, where if you take a couple hits, you're going to be hurting. And so to me, I don't mind as much that your character... I've seen some people complaining online that the character feels frail, that the main character feels frail at some points because you take, five, six hits and you're dead.
Yeah.
But to me, it's coming from a perspective of looking at it like a Ghost Recon or a Rainbow Six, you actually get more hits before you die than you do in those games.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't bother me as much. Now, the frame rate is pathetic, and there's no excuse for it to be as bad as it is. I haven't experienced it that bad yet, as bad as you're talking about, and maybe it's just luck of the draw. But
it might be, because I noticed that certain times I would like replay the same thing,
and it wouldn't be as bad.
It wouldn't be as bad,
right? Now I'll tell you what is kind of annoying to me, and just it's one of those. It's one of those nitpicky issues that have really only popped up this generation, at least as far as people complaining about it as much as they do. But texture pop-in is terrible in it.
It is.
Sometimes a cutscene starts up and I'm like, God, this looks like shit. What the hell? Oh, and then
2 seconds later. And, Drake's Fortune has the same thing.
Yeah, not nearly as bad.
Not nearly as bad.
Yeah.
But, to me, and, maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, but, when I play a game, I look at it more from an enjoyment standpoint of the game and less from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
So from a technical standpoint, Mass Effect has a lot of flaws. But from an enjoyment standpoint, to me, it's completely above, head and shoulders above, a lot of the games so far this year.
I totally agree with you. And it's kind of funny that you say it feels like two games.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But it's kind of weird because it feels like a AAA RPG. I mean, like one of the best RPGs ever made. But then the other half of the game is like one of the crappiest third-person shooters ever made, all in the same game.
Yeah, it definitely
it's kind of like mixed feelings, you know? Right. It's kind of weird.
You can definitely tell that the majority of the development time was spent on the RPG half of it, not the combat half of it. And that's, you know, it's disappointing, but the story carries it, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so,
it really
and
does.
I mean, once the frame rate and the texture pop in, they could fix that with a patch if they wanted to, probably to an extent. But I'm sure in the next iteration, they'll work hard on getting that cleaned up since they've got the engine.
Yeah, the PS3.
No,
what? Why not? It's under EA's belt.
It is under EA's belt, but from what I understand, doesn't Microsoft have a deal in place with BioWare to keep Mass Effect on?
Nope. They didn't sign any deal for any game past the first one.
You sure?
Yep.
Well, we might see it on PS3.
They said they are working on a second one. And what I hope doesn't happen is the Orange Box fiasco, where BioWare creates Mass Effect 2 for the 360, and then some external EA studio creates it for the PS3.
Right.
That's bad. Don't do that. Orange Box is going to suffer because of it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. No.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't do it.
I'm training to be an 80s hair band singer.
Nice.
Don't do it. Keep training.
Okay.
Anyway, does that pretty much wrap up your fondling of two games?
Yeah.
Exciting.
It is very exciting.
It's very exciting. Very,
you know
very.
What else is exciting? Kane and Lynch Dead Man. 10 out of 10. It's definitely the best game of this year.
You know what? That's funny because that's what I'm going to start off my...
Cha-ching.
That's what I'm going to start off
that's
my...
That's another $100 right there.
You need to tell him I was in on this. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Kane and Lynch Dead Man because I finished it last night. I'm trying to figure out how to go about this.
Because you don't want to get fired?
Yeah.
I don't want to get fired by IDOS. They fire me from a job I don't get paid for.
Yeah, I was already saying that. They don't give us no money.
The thing about Kane and Lynch is that there are so many things in that game that are so inventive, so cool. I love them. I absolutely love them. It's not like your typical shooter where, hey, here's an urban level. Hey, here's a outdoor level. Hey, here's another level. This game takes so many ideas, and the scenarios are fucking awesome. I will say this right now. The scenarios in that game are friggin' awesome. Like, the first stage, you're trying to break out of a prison van. That's cool. Second stage, you're robbing a bank. Like, literally robbing a bank. One person goes down into the safe, the other person holds the hostages. The third stage, what was the third stage? I'm trying to remember. But throughout the game, there's a stage where you fight a giant dump truck. There's a dump truck trying to run over you, and your job is to shoot the driver. There is a stage in the game where you're in a nightclub. You have to get through the nightclub without being seen, then get back out with a hostage. There is a scene where you rappel off the roof down into a building, blow the window out of the building, and then go inside and take everybody out. There are so many things that this game does good. There's a scene in the game where you have complete control over it, and the enemies have you at gunpoint from every direction. If you move, you're dead. You have to figure out what you have to do in order to take this situation out. And when I figured it out, I'm like, that's freaking awesome. I don't want to spoil it. And then when the game ends, they give you a choice. You can just leave with all your men back fighting somebody, or you can play another stage to go save them. It does so many scenarios great.
You know what that actually reminds me of? How a lot of the stuff that the other similar series that they work on, Hitman, does.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, in Hitman, there's a lot of that too. There's a lot of dropping you into a situation and making you figure out how to get out of it.
Yeah.
And that really does add a lot to that style of game. So if Kane and Lynch does, you know, that partially right, then that's got to be seen as a positive.
I love the scenarios in this game. I love the little things. You blowing up?
I'm blowing up.
I love the little things that this game does. Now, with that said, there's the control issues. It does have control. The third person camera is terrible. This is a really bad angle. It's weird. I don't like the save system, which I talked about earlier. I don't like that. I don't like the health system. There's no health bar, which normally doesn't bother me. You start getting shot enough, your screen starts blinking red, and you look like you're going to die.
Right.
Well, if you die, you don't actually die. You just get knocked out. One of your teammates can come over and stab you with an adrenaline shot and bring you back to life. And it basically makes you invincible. But there is a catch. You die too many times in a row frequently. You take too many adrenaline shots, you overdose.
Nice.
Now, there are some frustrating parts of the game where you'll get to, like, I'll say, for instance, the helicopter fight on the roof. That was frustrating because of the controls, because of the problems that it has.
Yeah.
This game is exactly what the infamous score gave it, between a 6.5 and a 7. It's not a bad game, has a lot of great ideas, a lot of problems. I just think it gets too much of a bad rap right now.
Right.
I really do.
All I know is that my copy of Kane and Lynch Dead Man saved myself, my wife, and both my cats from a burning building.
And that's what it was intended to do.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Cha-ching.
Did you know that Kane and Lynch Dead Man saved Luke Skywalker while he was running the trench of the Death Star? It came out of nowhere. Saved him.
Man.
He was about to get shot down by TIE fighters, and Kane and Lynch Dead Man came in, shot him off, and went, woohoo!
You know, Kane and Lynch, it changed my life.
You know, Kane and Lynch actually sponsored me for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's enough about Kane and
Lynch. Yeah. It's a great game.
That's like $500 right there.
I'm telling you, you best be splitting that, because I just did all the hard work talking. I actually played through it. Moving on. Frontline's Fuel of War. I got to play a little demo of that. It's Battlefield. I mean, it really is. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it's not bad. It's not a terrible game. And they kind of try to make it like the front lines instead of the tagline. The further you push, the further you get, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's Battlefield. There's like six little objectives on the screen. You go take each one, and then you go. There is a cool weapon in there as a remote control car bomb.
Nice.
That was cool. I enjoyed that. I thought, whoa, my headset like went out of whack. I don't know where it went.
But it's still on your head.
I know, but it was like down here on my chin. I'm like, my chin's talking. Anyway, I played that. That was good. We talked about Assassin's Creed. I played that. Seen It. We picked that up this week. That was a really fun game.
Yeah, I played the demo of it. It's really cool.
I had a lot of fun with it, but we were playing, and you start the game up, you see party mode. That's multiplayer. That's what you say. So we started a game of party mode. Get through the first round. All right. Okay, there's another round. Cool. Get through the second round. Woo! There's got to be three rounds. That's the video game cliche.
Right.
Three. Finish the third round. Oh, it's still going. Okay, let's do another one. 3 hours later, I'm like, does this thing ever fucking end?
Jeez.
Does it end? Like, 3 hours into this game, does it end? We just wanted to see if we get achievements.
Right.
I was playing through party mode. I'm like, I don't want to quit because then we'll lose all these achievements. Come to find out, party mode is endless. It just does not stop. It just keeps going. It just keeps asking you questions. It never ends. So, yeah, don't play party mode unless you really want to party.
Unless you want to go an all-nighter.
And in party mode, another thing that I have a problem with is it lets everybody see everybody's answer.
Oh, nice.
I don't like that.
No.
Because if somebody doesn't know the answer...
All they got to do is watch you.
Yeah, just watch you. Get the same answer, and they're very rarely going to lose very many points for it.
Right.
So, still really good, though. The controllers are cool.
Yeah.
You get four controllers with it.
Yeah.
The big buzzer controllers.
Bzzz.
And the last thing I played this week, a lot of, was Soul Calibur Legends for the Wii.
You played a lot of Soul Calibur Legends?
You sound so surprised.
Wow.
You played a lot of that?
You have no faith in that game, do you?
Well, I mean, from the reviews and stuff like
that. Oh, reviews,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, reviews.
Because we should pay attention to those, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what... You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired for paying attention to reviews. Time Crisis is a 3.
It's a 3?
According to the reviews.
Ah.
That's what I said. Now, Soul Calibur Legends isn't a bad game. I don't know. It's a hack and slash with Wii graphics and the Soul Calibur characters. The motion control works. You push the remote forward, he stabs. You pull up, he does like the upper slash. Side to side, he does a horizontal slash. Over the head, vertical slash. That's pretty much it. Best dialogue I've heard in a long time, though.
Really?
Oh, God.
That's sarcasm right there.
Dripping with it.
Hearing the English versions of, like, Ivy... and Cervantes.
You don't know what this sword can do.
It's freaking awesome. It, graphically, it looks... if... Maybe Soul Calibur 3-ish? Soul Calibur 3-ish? Maybe. Doesn't that look bad?
That looks pretty good.
Siegfried, though. I don't like Siegfried.
Siegfried.
I guess, yeah, the further you... I haven't got too far into it, but the further you get into it, I guess you can unlock new characters and actually play through different missions. And when you beat a level, they do their little pose. And it plays the music. Kind of reminds me of, like, Final Fantasy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a little one-liner that they say.
Nice.
And I think that'd be the level with Ivy. She's like, thought was easy. Wow.
Wow.
That's terrible. Stop talking. They need to stop talking.
When you load into a level, does it go, Cervantes?
No. Thank God. I think when I started...
Welcome to the stage of history.
That's great. I think it did say something when I fought somebody, though, and I can't remember what it was. I thought it was from the game. Guilty Gear does that, too. Guilty Gear 2 Overture. Like, when you get into a fight with a boss, it's like, rock on! Which, that game is very, very terrible. God, am I so
you
much...
know, that would be a great job. Just to be the video game announcer guy. Just the guy that goes, 3, 2, 1, go! That guy? Or the fighting game...
Round one.
Yeah.
Fight.
Right.
I'd rather be the first person shooter guy.
Oh yeah.
Headshot.
Because have you ever played Perfect Dark multiplayer?
Yeah.
And when you get like, I think what is it, like 10 kills in a row? Killer Concordage.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Kill Harmonic Orchestra.
They come up with the most... Perfect Dark did the worst job ever at coming up with things to name.
They did, but it was so funny when you heard them though.
Right.
Kill-tacular! Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Killalicious!
You know, Unreal actually does a good job of that, but Unreal's downfall is the...
The bots?
Yeah, the bots that taunt you. Yeah.
You got what the pwned!
Yeah. I saw a thing online of... I can't remember who it was, previewing Unreal Tournament 3, and one of his big complaints was... that he plays with bots because he doesn't like playing with real people.
Yeah.
And then new in this year's version, the bots taunt you.
Yeah, they taunt you like all the
time. I'm like, that's not new in this year's version. They taunted you in last year's in Unreal Tournament 2 on the Xbox.
Yeah, they did.
I'm like, don't act like it's new.
Unreal's been using bot taunts for a long time.
Forever.
It's one of their things, and they've always sucked.
Right. It is annoying, but...
Ownage!
Ownage!
Ownage! Yeah. You suck!
I remember we played a lot of Unreal Tournament 2 on the Xbox. And,
yes, we did. I love Unreal Tournament. And I cannot wait.
Those bot taunts never got any better.
They did not.
I remember playing the original Unreal.
Yes, Unreal. That was when we used to try to make our PC run really well.
Yeah.
Even Unreal Championship on Xbox was really good.
Oh,
I still have
Unreal.
The original Unreal Championship
on
Xbox.
I'd still play it. That's how much I love it. It's one of the few games that has bots.
Yep.
I love bots because if you don't want to play with random people and you only got like 6 people online playing... You can fill the room out with 10 bots.
Yep.
It's good times.
Yep.
That's why we played Unreal so much, and then Unreal Tournament 3's got bots. So
yep.
We'd definitely be playing a lot. That's why I like playing Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
It has bots.
Yep.
How hard is it to put a bot in there?
That's the only thing left that's worth playing Perfect Dark for anymore is
I know.
The fact there's bots.
I wish you could play Kane and Lynch's Fragile Alliance mode with bots. Like two buddies.
Another Kane and Lynch mention.
I swear to God, this is not a conspiracy.
You know, even though Alexander Graham Bell gets most of the credit, Kane and Lynch actually invented the telephone.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And they discovered penicillin.
Well, thank God for that.
Cured smallpox.
Or, I'm sorry, should I say thank Kane and Lynch for that?
Yes.
And Kane and Lynch, there's a copy of it on the moon.
Nice.
Yes. With cell processing.
Yeah.
I'm done with Kane and Lynch. I don't want to talk about this anymore. So we're going to move on to the news, and it was very sad last week because you weren't here to do...
Wasn't here to do the radio announcer
You weren't
voice.
Here to do the radio, and he didn't even attempt one.
Yeah, I didn't even attempt
Man,
last
He didn't
week.
Want to try to fill your shoes.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
So, as we go into the news...
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies.
brought to you by Kane and Lynch Deadman. Because I gots to get paid. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
I thought we were done with Kane and Lynch.
I just did it for you.
Next week, it'll be brought to you by Two Worlds. God, what is this, the podcast of shitty games?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's going to be our tagline from now on, the podcast of shitty games.
The podcast of shitty games we spend too much time talking about. Next week's edition, Monster Madness and Two Worlds. Thank you. Good night. Oh, all right. I'm kidding. God. People are going to take that literally and go out and be, it's a shitty game. That's why they all own it and play it.
Nice old man impersonation,
Thank
Zero.
You.
I didn't know there were that many elderly people listening to the podcast.
They did until they had a heart attack after you said Two Worlds was a good game.
Well, we only had 5 listeners to begin with anyway. So.
That's true. Yeah. Now 3 of them are dead.
Yeah.
All right. Devil May Cry 4 demo coming in early 2008.
I thought the game was supposed to come out in early 2008.
It's like February.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're going to release a demo.
You realize that early 2008 is like 3 weeks away, right?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just asking.
Well, you think I'm so out of the loop in terms of time?
No, it's just most people don't realize that 2008 is only 3 weeks away.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Next up. Actually, we'll skip over part 2 because we'll come back and talk a little bit about that later.
We're going to want to discuss that in depth.
Did everybody see the GTA 4 trailer?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
You know what? It looks, I don't know, it looks good to me, but it's not, it's
it looks
definitely...
Like there's still a lot of frame rate.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's very choppy. Yeah. And, you know, it's not, I saw some people complaining online about the graphics, but... I mean, who plays Grand Theft Auto for the graphics?
If you ever play Grand Theft Auto for the graphics, you're playing...
The wrong game.
Yeah, definitely playing the wrong game.
You need to be playing Saints Row instead.
Or even Just Cause. Shit.
Right.
I mean, God.
But,
Just Cause.
But no, I thought it seemed very Grand Theft Auto-ish. Like, they definitely recaptured the flavor.
The flavor? Is this the flavor of love going to be in it?
How GTA got its groove back.
Is that the name of the song or something? The trailer's name?
I have no idea.
Because I thought the trailer was going to be about some of the other parts of Grand Theft Auto, and I'm like watching. I'm like, there's not even a woman in this trailer.
They don't even say move up, ladies, at all. There is a woman.
I thought it would be
it.
Like a comment or something.
There is a woman in the trailer. There's that girl dancing, like acting all crazy, getting a freak on.
But how Stella got a groove back.
But no, I don't understand where they got the title for the trailer at.
I don't know. The dialogue in the game still makes me laugh. Since you put it like that,
right?
Come on.
You know, like I said, it's very Grand Theft Auto-ish.
Ish.
It's definitely nothing that you haven't seen before.
I'm getting tired of this whole hype up to a trailer, and then they show it, and it looks just like the last one.
Right.
Stop showing me trailers. Start showing me somebody play it.
Right.
Stop being Rockstar.
Right. Although, I'll tell you, if you watch the trailer again and just look for some of the details... some of the details actually look pretty good. The rims on the car spinning looks good. The water looks good.
The game looks good. Don't get me wrong about that. But when you have to release a trailer for your box art unveiling,
that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
But I mean, it's all part of the hype machine, man.
The hype machine is rolling.
It's only going to get it worse as spring 08 gets closer.
I'm waiting on that game to come out so I can hear people online compare the two versions because you know that's the thing to do nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not actually about playing the game; it's about comparing the two.
Yep.
So
it's a pissing contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My penis is bigger than yours. Here's a good announcement. I'm moving on to a good one.
What? Your penis is bigger than...
That is a good announcement. I feel that is a very good announcement. David Jaffe's first game. Did you read about this?
Your penis is bigger than David Jaffe's first game?
Can we let go of the penis?
All right, we need to just move on.
I'm trying to move on.
Some quotes right there, man.
All right, we're going to move away from that. David Jaffe's first game. Did anybody read about this?
I sure did, and it made me very happy.
David Jaffe's first game.
With his new company, Eat, Sleep, Play, his first game will be a redux of Twisted Metal head-on for the PSP for the PlayStation 2 with some levels from Black 2 that was never released, Twisted Metal Black 2, as well as like all the original full motion video endings that were cut from Twisted Metal 2. And I cry.
Yeah.
Because we have a new Twisted Metal game coming. But there is a catch.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's only coming to the PlayStation 2.
Right.
Ow! Ouch!
So, if you got a 40 gig PS3, I hope you saved your PlayStation 2.
Yes. I will be fine. I have a 60 gigger. I have a 60 gigger.
A 60 gigger.
I have an intergalactic gigger.
Wow. So, but, yeah, I was a little disappointed about the fact that it was PS2, but, you know,
anything
Twisted Metal, I'll definitely still get my hands on.
Anything Twisted Metal. I mean, the fact that he said there was going to be levels in there from Black 2 that was originally cut, I'm pumped.
Right.
Ready for some TM, and I'm hoping it's online. It's my big thing. It's got to be online.
Got to be online.
Moving on up. Capcom shutting down a few online servers for some old PS2 games, so if you're the four people still playing Outbreak,
too bad.
Resident Evil Outbreak, your stuff's about to get shut down, and Monster Hunter is being shut down for the PS2.
And, you know, I mean, nobody plays Outbreak anymore, really, and Monster Hunter, they've got new ones out that everybody's on anyway, but, I mean, that's one of the...
This right here is perfect proof of why Xbox Live is worth paying for. No game will ever lose its servers.
Right, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to dedicated servers as far as game speed goes, but one of the drawbacks, and you could say, well, you know, these games are so old, nobody's even playing them anymore. Well, that's true, but the fact of the matter is, if they were peer-to-peer, you could still play them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, each peer-to-peer has a lag problem, not as bad as it's made out to be most of the time, depending on your connection, but they both have their advantages and disadvantages. Dedicated servers aren't the be-all, end-all, and neither's peer-to-peer. So,
indubitably.
It just goes to show that they both have their pitfalls.
I'm going to skip over the next couple pieces of news,
yeah,
too, because that's going to be a big discussion.
Yep.
New Bioshock downloadable content is up, as well as a new achievement.
Right.
If you are man enough to get that achievement, which is beat the entire game on hard without dying.
Whoa.
So good luck with that. It's worth 100 points if you get it. But the new downloadable content includes some new plasmids.
Yep.
Sweet.
So
check it out.
Definitely check that out. And then we're going to get to the fall update impressions, which you're going to be in the dark about this.
We'll be in the dark.
So how long have you been using the new fall update? Did you get it day one?
I did get it day one, actually. I didn't even know that it was out day one. I just logged on and
your
boom,
system
there you
gets
go.
An update.
Yeah. So, but so I've been using it since it came out, and I'm digging it. I'll tell you right now, it definitely feels faster.
I know every time they do one of these updates, the dashboard gets faster somehow, and I don't understand it. But then after a while, it gets slower again.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and I definitely like the fact that you can do a bio on your profile now, and I like the fact that you can see the friends list of people that you're friends with.
I know everybody was, and I still wonder who asked for that.
Right.
I've gotten friend requests already from people from other people's friends list.
Right.
Like, who is this? Who dis?
But it's definitely nice because I've got a couple people on my friends list that, you know, maybe I jump on their friends list. I see some people I know that I didn't know they had a gamer tag.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at Gamescon's friend list, though. You have a weird friends list.
Yeah, I do.
You have a very weird friends list. I'm scrolling down through his. I'm like, do you even talk to half of these people?
I like having friends.
I can see this. You have a lot of Japanese friends.
Yeah.
Don't you know you're consorting with the enemy?
What?
Da-da-da.
Did you bump your head and think this was 1943?
Shit, I'm in the wrong era. No, I was looking at your friends list, and I was, like, laughing at some of the names. That's another thing, is I love going down through and looking at everybody's name.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and how bad they're spelled and all that stuff.
There's a lot of unintentional humor in the... a lot of these people's names.
What cracks me up is, like, nobody uses the bio feature.
Right.
Nobody uses it.
Right.
Like, nobody on my friends list has their real name in there.
Right.
Like, maybe one or two. And nobody's using the big giant bio.
Right.
Like, the only person that used it was, like, this one guy who was doing reviews.
Yeah, I
of
saw
his
that.
Games. I thought that was a cool idea.
That is actually a really good idea.
So,
that's a very innovative.
It's going to be a bitch to type, though, because you can't edit it online.
Yeah.
So... I use mine just to always use the gamer quote I wanted, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, fall update. I'm digging it so far. The only thing that I'm not completely sold on yet, and I kind of am, and I'm kind of not. Like, I have to get used to it, is the fact that the arcade games and the demos are combined into one list now.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not...
I don't like that.
I don't dig that as much as some other people seem to.
I would have liked it if they would have put... in the game section every game that you've played.
Right.
And, like, showed you a list of every game you play. But I don't like how they add the demos and the arcade games, because now when it comes to games, it shows you, like, you have... Like, I used to have, like, 100 and whatever, how many arcade games there were. Now it says, like, 121. I'm like, what the hell is it counting? I go in there, demos.
Demos, yeah.
Why? Why are you counting demos?
Right, yeah. And, I mean, if you have a lot of games on there, it's, it was a lot easier before if you had four demos and, you know, 60 arcade games, and you wanted to play one of your four demos, you could just jump into demos and pick the one that you wanted. Now, if you've got, you know, 64, and the demo you want to play is right in the middle, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it takes longer
like
to scroll down through the list.
I don't like the fact that they took away that sorting by category either.
Yeah.
For arcade games, where you could sort them by coin-op and arcade and strategy. You can't do that anymore. I don't like that.
Yeah.
They're all just thrown into one thing.
They're all just thrown into one list, and you got to scroll down through it. And I don't necessarily like the little cross-media bar thing for the marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of that yet. I mean, I might get used to it, but...
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely... It's going to take some getting used to. We'll have to comment back before too long on whether we still have issues with some of this stuff. Because it's one of those things where it might just be that it's different, and it's... making me not like it. But
the DivX support sucked for me too, because like the DivX movies that I had that I wanted to watch, they didn't work.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, DivX support now, click, this format is not supported. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
this was supposed to work. So yeah, that's kind of annoying.
Denied.
I was denied.
No DivX denied.
Yeah, there's DivX support in there, but apparently it has to be very specific. So
very specific form of DivX.
I almost set the family timer on your system. So you're limited to 2 hours a day of gameplay.
You can do that?
Yes. That's another new feature, is the family timer.
Hell, I'm limited to 2 hours of gameplay a day anyway.
Yeah, but that's not by choice.
Yeah. That's by real life.
The inside Xbox thing I kind of dig.
Yeah, that's kind of... I mean, it's a good idea. As long as they, you know, keep updating it with...
They've updated it every day so far.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
That's what I'm saying. As long as it's not something that they just do for the first month or so and then...
Of course, you know,
ditch.
I've never seen so much Major Nelson on my Xbox
in
my life. Oh, my God. He's in, like, every segment.
Yeah.
Welcome to Major's Minute. Welcome to Inside Xbox. Welcome to my house. Oh, shit. Not supposed to be taping.
Welcome to Major Nelson in the shower.
Ooh.
God, that's nasty. Along with the fall update, we had 8 new games. Go budget price.
Budget.
Bank Shot Billiards is now 800 points, which
should have been in the first place.
Luminous Live is now 800 points, which ditto should have been from the first place. Marble Blast Ultra is now 400 points, which is a steal for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small Arms is now 400 points, which is another steal. And Zuma is 400 points now, which it should have been, I feel, from the beginning.
Right.
And we also have some new games announced, including Arcadian Warriors. Brain Challenge. Ooh, guess what? Xbox Live Arcade, getting into the brain training.
Yeah.
Grip Shift, which was a PSP and PSN game.
Right.
N Plus, which stands for Ninja. It's a Stickman Ninja.
The Stickman Ninja.
Yeah, you go around as a Stickman Ninja. You can create your own levels. It's all in black and white.
Oh, I've seen videos of that.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Omega 5, which we already knew about.
Yeah.
I thought that was supposed to come out already.
Maybe next week.
Ooh.
Poker Smash.
Can you guess
what that's about? Rez HD. And once again, the year-old Sensible World of Soccer, which is still not out.
Right.
Man, I saw some video footage for... Rez HD, and it looks really good.
You like techno shooters? All right, but now we'll go back. Let's talk about Street Fighter 4 first. Was that a jackal?
Yeah.
We got a jackal in the house. All right, so it was unveiled this week with the first screenshot.
It was indeed.
It is a 3D game with quote-unquote 2D gameplay. Which 1UP is going to be unveiling over the next week. Plus, there's a giant cover story in the new EGM. So, besides looking like he got stung by an army of bees...
Yes. Besides looking like he got hit by the same gamma ray that hit Bruce Banner...
what do we think of Street Fighter 4?
Based on the screenshot... I've actually seen two screenshots.
I've seen three.
Oh, okay. I've seen... Yeah.
Three.
With the fireball?
Yeah, the fireball and the hurricane kick.
Hurricane kick, yeah. Yeah, okay, I've seen 3-2. Forgot about the fireball one.
Now, what is this? This is supposed to be before 3?
Right, it's between
yeah,
2 and 3.
Thing is, that's the thing that I'm calling bull crap on. I think it's stupid. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like, oh, it's after 2, but it's before 3, but it's called 4. I mean, that's
because
like,
they ran out of, you know...
Yeah.
Titles for 2.
Street Fighter, Hyper Alpha Turbo 6, 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, their prequel got, what, 2 sequels? Street Fighter Alpha, Street
right.
Fighter Alpha
yeah.
2, Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Right.
So now we have Street Fighter 4, which takes place after 2, but before 3. That should be the tagline.
Right.
Street Fighter 4, after 2, before 3.
And after
before
Alpha 2,
three.
But that goes as a given because it was the first one. It's a pretty long
tagline. Nothing to do with EX.
Completely separate from EX universe.
Thank God.
It kind of looks like EX, though.
It does kind of look like EX. That's my concern.
Dude, you check out pictures of EX and...
But I mean, the art style.
Yeah.
The art style reminds me of EX.
It looks so much better than EX. Mm, it's like night and
it's
day.
It's not about how much better it looks than EX. It's the art style that gets me. Because it's the over-the-top, kind of like really colorful, like polygons and stuff. I mean, it when I saw the screenshot, I go, Street Fighter EX 3. That's the first thing I said to myself. Not granted that it looks like Street Fighter EX 3, but the art style does. So,
well, I mean, it is similar, but it's like to the like the 10th degree.
Right.
I begin to wonder, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I'm still curious as to what the hell it's for.
Right.
What system is it going to be on?
I hope they release it to arcade first.
Why?
Because I want the arcade to come back.
Street Fighter's not going to do it.
In Japan, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
But you don't live in Japan.
Konnichiwa!
Where are you going to play this game at if it comes to arcades? Where is the closest arcade?
Dayton Mall.
Nobody knows what we're talking
about. Nobody knows where Dayton Mall is. Okay.
Well, actually, yeah, I bet somebody does know where the Dayton Mall is.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that'd be scary.
But do you really think they're going to get Street Fighter 4 before it comes to consoles?
No, I seriously don't think so. I think it'll be a direct to
I mean, they're doing console. It for arcade. I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing it for arcade.
Yeah.
But in America, they're not going to... Why? Why would you release that over here?
Why would you release it to arcades?
Yeah, over here. Why?
Well, I mean, arcades are actually becoming popular again.
Not enough to warrant
well,
them
I mean,
to release that. That'd be like releasing a panty simulator over here for the DS like they do in Japan. Do you think it's going to sell?
I don't know that that's quite the same comparison.
Yeah, I think that's so.
Do you not see where I'm coming from, though?
No, I got you. Arcades, I mean, it's definitely not as popular over here. I mean, just for pure nostalgia sake, and because
steak.
It's
you hungry?
And because it's Street Fighter, I could see him releasing it on arcade just because it's Street Fighter. But I mean, I don't see it being wildly successful in the arcades over here.
No,
but.
I see 360 PS3. I mean,
I'm hoping that it's multi-platform.
I can't
imagine it not being multi-platform.
Capcom has done everything multi-platform lately. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I see it being PS3, 360 with online play. I think the reason they're doing between 2 and 3 is so they can just bring all the old characters back.
Right.
Yeah.
3's characters really didn't catch on.
Right.
People liked the game, but the characters didn't catch on. They were kind of goofy.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah.
They really want to go back to Ken and Ryu, Guile and Blanca and... All that stuff.
And Chun-Li.
Well, you know Chun-Li's in it along with her thighs that look like they were stung by a giant bee.
Yeah, I can't. If Ryu looks as big as he is right now, I can't wait to see Chun-Li's thighs.
Her thighs are going to be bigger than Blanca.
Right.
They're going to be huge.
She goes on the Thigh Master.
She does.
I think she broke the Thigh Master.
She is the Thigh Master.
And then she choked Suzanne Summers with her leg. Broke her neck. It would have been funnier had I not stumbled over it. Anyway,
yeah, it would have been.
We're gonna.
But you know, my only concern so far in some of the stuff that I've seen is I wonder when they say it's 3D graphics but 2D gameplay. I'm wondering if they mean there's a big difference between 2D gameplay like Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 3, and 2D gameplay in the broader sense. Like, I mean, for example. in a sense, Tekken is 2D gameplay. You know, in a sense, Virtua Fighter is 2D gameplay. The only way you go in and out of 3D is if you sidestep.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they mean it's 2D that way, or if it's straight 2D. Because if you look at the screenshots, both Ryu shooting the fireball and Ken doing the hurricane kick are coming into and out of the background. Rather, the perspective is coming from the background to the front, and from the front to the background, which concerns me a little bit.
I'm thinking that in terms of overall gameplay mechanics, like a very broad sense, I'm thinking it's going to be kind of similar to the Rival Schools series.
Maybe, but...
Because Rival Schools was 2D.
Right.
But it was 3D.
Right.
It was 3D graphics played in 2D gameplay.
Right.
I'm thinking that it'll probably be more of a refined, like, version of the Rival Schools engine.
Which, you know, Rival Schools was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So. Let's hope.
I'm thinking it'll be like that, but... The thing is, Capcom knows that a lot of the fans are worried about 3D graphics because of collision detection not being as perfect as a 2D game.
Right.
And I think Capcom knows this, and I think they're going to work really hard to make it feel more like a 2D game.
Right. I still kind of wish... Part of me looks at the new graphics and thinks they look fantastic.
Yeah.
But part of me still wishes that it would have been 2D... sprite-based with, you know, high-definition sprites and with that awesome kind of inky art style that they did in the trailer. Can you imagine kind of backgrounds that looked like paintings and as the characters fight, ink trails off of them, and it would be completely gorgeous. But we'll see where it goes.
Basically, Street Fighter taking place in the world of Okami.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what it would look like.
Can you draw pictures on the walls in the background?
Yeah, do you
maybe.
This is on the wall online.
Oh no!
But I just think, to me, that would be really, really cool. When I first saw the trailer, that was my hope. That was the direction that they were going to go in. That it was going to be kind of like Japanese watercolor. Like the whole thing would take place almost in a Japanese watercolor painting. But
I think that would have been good for a sub-series. Kind of like an Alpha or an EX series.
Right.
Like a next generation sub-series.
Street Fighter Omega!
Yeah, Street Fighter Omega. There you go.
Just made that up.
Hey, you should patent it and sell it to Capcom.
There you go.
But anyway,
I'm sure I can patent Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street Fighter!
But I think it looks good. I think that with all games that go into a dramatic, different direction,
right.
There's always going to be a shock, disbelief, lots of negative tendencies towards whatever it is. But just like anything, over time, and once you get into gameplay, and if it actually plays great, it'll grow on you.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking it'll do.
That's what they said about Street Fighter 3, too, and I don't think it had the impact of Street Fighter 2.
Right. You know, I love Street Fighter 3.
Street Fighter 3 is loved by all,
yeah.
I mean, but it's not popular like Street Fighter 2 was.
Yeah.
People would still prefer to play Street Fighter 2 or Street Fighter Alpha, and I think that comes from the recognition of the characters.
Right.
I think that's a big thing.
I really like the Alpha series. I think in terms of, like, graphics... Overall, I like Alpha 2, the Street Fighter Alpha 2, the best because the backgrounds were still character-based. You know, you had the Ryu stage, the Ken stage, and they had the Street Fighter Alpha 2, I think, had the best backgrounds of all the Street Fighter games. And maybe they'll go in that direction with this.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm thinking that Street Fighter 4... is only going to have maybe 10 or 12 characters selectable because they're going to know that they're going to release later versions in the future.
Right.
So I'm thinking that when Street Fighter 4 comes out, I'm thinking that in terms of character selection, it's going to be kind of bare bones compared to what we've been used to in like past fighting games in recent years.
Well, there's one thing you can say for sure.
What's that?
The fighting game is making a comeback in 2008. with a new Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
A Soul Calibur. A Tekken.
Uh-huh.
And a Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Now, if only we could get good. A DOA, which that's not going to happen, because he's working on old Ninja Gaiden 2.
Thankfully.
Shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see a renaissance.
Itagaki, why can you not be cloned?
And Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2
HD.
HD.
Yes.
So. That too. So fighting games are going to have a renaissance.
Renaissance.
Renaissance of video game fighters.
Renaissance.
All right, we're going to move on to the next big announcement that we're going to talk a little bit about and see how this pans out. A couple companies merged over the week, namely the juggernaut Activision.
Mm-hmm.
Who owns a few franchises you may have heard of.
You
may have heard of these franchises, like Call of Duty, you know, Guitar Hero, Spider-Man, you know. Maybe you've heard of them. Merged with another company, Vivendi, who just happens to own another little company that you may know, called Blizzard.
Oh, snap!
So now the house of Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk has been merged with the house of StarCraft and WarCraft.
So, in other words, we have the Western version of Square Enix.
Pretty much, yeah.
In terms of games where people were completely obsessed with them.
Yeah.
Loyal followings. An extremely powerful union.
Yes.
Along with this announcement came the announcement of Call of Duty 5.
Five already? Jeez!
Yeah.
Get out of here!
I'm not done yet.
No.
Get out of here!
I'm not done yet.
Oh, jeez!
Along with the announcement of Guitar Hero 4.
Hey, have they also announced Guitar Hero 5, 6, and 7?
Might as well.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
yes.
Might as well. Rocks the 80s Part 3.
Also, Activision has announced a new racing title.
Ooh.
From Bizarre Creations, the makers of Project Gotham.
Oh, snap!
Which is now under the same house.
Right.
So,
I think the key thing about the Call of Duty 5 and the Guitar Hero 4 and all that is if you notice when it was announced, their choice of wording was probably not the best. He said that you can expect... He was talking about Call of Duty and Guitar Hero, and he said... you can expect these franchises to be exploited on a yearly basis. Now, granted, exploited in the business sense means that they're going to take advantage of the properties that they have. But the words exploited do not translate well to the video game world.
Yeah.
Because we're used to franchises being exploited by other large companies that might have an E and an A in their title.
Which EA, I got to give credit to lately, has changed a lot.
They have. With the exception of their sports franchises, they've changed
quite a bit.
It's going to be year after year of Call of Duty and Guitar Hero.
Which I heard. I heard Call of Duty 5 is going to be World War II.
And it's developed by Treyarch.
Yes. Yes.
which is just, you know, we'll see. You know, Treyarch is a good development team.
I like their games.
But
I do.
Call of Duty 3 was a disappointment.
I mean, and once you go to Call of Duty 4 and you play that game,
right.
My God.
Right.
I mean, and you're going to go back to World War II after that.
The good news is, hopefully, Infinity Ward will be doing Call of Duty 6, and it'll give them 2 years to work on it like they had with Call of Duty 4.
Maybe it'll be future warfare.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
That would be a nice next step.
It'd be... freaking awesome. You have laser beams and...
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
That joke is at least 4 years old.
I'm sorry.
No, it's at least like 8 years... No, about 9 years
old. Stop making lies!
Stop lying!
But also the big question is, what does this mean for Blizzard? The company that releases a game every 10 years.
Hey, get a Guitar Hero MMO.
Nice. Ba-do-ching. Well, I mean, there's some speculation that maybe this will give Blizzard, you know, some assets to work through to develop World of Warcraft for consoles.
You know what I want? I want Activision to resurrect StarCraft Ghost.
We'll see about that.
Man.
StarCraft Ghost is in the same development purgatory that Duke Nukem Forever has fallen into.
Yeah, but Duke Nukem Forever, the developer, claims it's coming next year.
Yeah.
Hey, he claims it.
You know, what game, name me one game that was in development for as long as that game's been in development that turned out any good.
There was one game that was in development that long, and I can't think of what it was.
Was it Prey?
Well, if you're thinking of
Prey,
Daikatana, you're
Prey.
You're sadly mistaken. Well, Prey was pretty.
Prey
good.
Was Eternal Darkness.
Yeah, but Eternal Darkness wasn't in development as long as Duke Nukem Forever.
Not quite, but it was in development for a very long time.
It was in development for quite a long time.
I mean, it spanned two systems. Here's another one, Too Human.
Yeah, I was about to say Too Human.
Well, Too Human was a PS1 game.
We haven't seen Too Human yet. But you know what those have in common?
Silicon Knights.
Yes. So that's a little different.
Yeah, but it's 3D Realms. They did Prey.
StarCraft II.
StarCraft II's been in development for about 20 years now.
We'll see. We'll see if StarCraft II gets ported to the consoles now that they've got this.
I hope not. You know, that's the one game that I think deserves just to stay on the PC.
We'll see.
I don't know. I'd still play it on a console because my PC probably won't run it.
Command and Conquer proved that you can successfully do a good real-time strategy game on a console. So
true that, homie. But yeah, I don't know. Just you're not going to see. StarCraft 6 by 2010 or anything.
Right.
Because of this. Blizzard's not going to change. So.
Yeah.
But that just means EA is still chomping at the bit to be the number one publisher with Activision right on their heels.
Right.
So, there's a lot of... I mean, pretty soon it's just going to be Activision and EA.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
They'll gobble up everybody.
Yeah. Conglomerate.
We're going to move on to new releases, which should be very exciting. Because it's that... slow end of the year time. Blacksite Area 51 is coming to the PS3 this week. Unreal Tournament 3 is coming to the PS3 this week.
Which is a big one.
Warriors of the Lost Empire for the PSP. Yeah. Daisen Ryu Exceed. I know I butchered that name. The Orange Box for the PS Triple.
Tahri.
I bet it broke again. What do you want to bet?
I bet it did. You need to stop going here for your new releases.
I can't help it. Yes, this is like the best place to go.
Yes, you did.
It broke.
Broke it again.
I break it every week.
Maybe you should do some preparation and actually just list them all out.
I used to do that, and then I got tired of doing that because it took too
preparation.
Long.
Preparation.
Luxor 2 for the DS.
Man, it's slow.
Oh, it's big. Madden NFL 08 in Espanol.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
March Madness 2008.
March Madness 2008 for PS3, PS2, 360, Neo Geo Battle Coliseum.
Woohoo!
Showtime Boxing.
You know that's got to be sweet.
Super Swing Golf Season 2 for the Wii. Is that this week? Yeah. Indy 500 Legends for the Wii. Kawasaki Quad Bikes, which has already had a price drop from $29 now down to $19.99. Kids Sports Baseball for the Wii.
That's basketball, buddy.
Is it basketball?
Yeah.
I can't read that. Does it matter?
No.
Mythmakers, the Orbs of Doom.
Which also has already had a price drop.
Yes.
I'm glad to see the Wii is getting such high-quality games.
And that's it. I'm done. I'm finished with that. That's new releases for the week. So if you own a Wii, there's a bunch of shit coming out.
Yeah.
And then Unreal Tournament 3.
And Neo Geo Battle Coliseum.
Like hopefully, I said, nobody's going to buy that.
Hopefully we'll be able to have our impressions on Unreal Tournament 3.
By the time we get back.
Since
I'm hoping. I'm hoping to have played some Unreal Tournament.
You know what I'm anxiously awaiting?
What's that?
I'm anxiously awaiting the mod community getting a hold of Unreal Tournament 3 and just creating...
Star Wars mod?
Yeah, Star
That's
Wars.
That's always the first one.
Star Wars mod. I'm sure there'll be a Halo mod. I'm sure it'll just get out of control.
They're going to have a Halo on the PS3.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
Sony claims that they're going to be hands-off as far as filtering the mods. So.
Yeah, I know. Which means we're also going to have Penis Wars.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll have.
You got to download that one.
Yes. There'll be two teams, penises and vaginas.
Wow.
I mean, that'll be the two
that
teams.
Just took a step over the ledge.
Yeah.
Capture the sack.
God.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
I don't know if the
God, you just put on
the... I don't know if the microphone can accurately capture me slamming the palm of my hand against my forehead right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I'm sure
that's going to become an internet trend now, capture the sack.
You end up with...
here first.
Gears of War mod. I can't imagine everything.
Gears of War would be easy.
Yeah.
It's the same engine.
Right.
I'd like to see, like, some cartoons like some old
like when
they
used to have
shows.
Barney Doom,
like Serious Sam,
Simpsons mod,
maybe like a Masters of the Universe mod. Because think about it, the He-Man show is like fantasy, but at the same time it's futuristic. And the thing is, if you really think about the art style of He-Man and Masters of the Universe, would kind of lend itself to the Unreal Tournament world.
You know what was not futuristic about that show?
Many
the dialogue.
Yeah. Hi there. My name is Prince Adam.
That show is terrible
yeah,
now.
Yeah. If you go, as much as I loved He-Man when I was a kid, if you go back and watch it now, absolutely terrible.
Oh, God.
Hey, I still like it.
Here you go, Manny Faces.
That was pretty good.
Manny Faces.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we're gonna move into questions now. There's not a whole lot of them this week, so we're gonna blast through these. First one's really about the Activision. Where's the actual question? Here we go. Ever since QuakeCon 07, I've been wondering why id hasn't named Activision as Rage's publisher. And to think they are already getting their mobile games published by EA. Are these indications of an EA x id publishing or EA and id publishing deal? I think EA is going to snatch up id. This comes from Vice Rocks.
You know, at this point, I'm not going to be surprised if EA snatches up anybody, to be honest.
Nah.
I mean, like you said, there's the huge power play between Activision and EA, and they're both trying to get their hands on whatever they can.
If EA can snatch up id and Rage License, which is going to be releasing a game for, you know, PS3, 360, and PC, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's going to be to the highest bidder.
He makes a solid point. he says, no, id, Crytek, BioWare, and Valve can't stay under one roof. I mean, if you think about all the fantastic development studios that EA has under their banner right now, it's equal parts exciting that they're all under the same roof, and equal parts terrifying that they're all under the same roof.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
I don't know if EA snatches up id. I don't think it's going to matter much to me.
No.
I mean, because id's games have always been id's games. I've never really paid much attention to who published them.
Right.
So, it never really mattered to me.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So,
I feel the same way.
I mean, the thing that's getting overlooked in all this, a lot of people are afraid of these mergers, and deservedly so in some cases, because they're afraid the studios or that publishing companies like EA will ruin the games that these developers make. But they wouldn't have purchased a studio like BioWare
to ruin their games.
Right. They purchased them because they know how they operate. They know what fantastic games they make.
Yeah.
Okay, BioWare.
They're not gonna shoot themselves in the foot by spending all this money to buy the company and then completely changing their development strategy and ruining their games. It's just, I mean, it's not sound business.
No.
BioWare to make the next Madden.
But there'd be some RPG elements
in
that.
Yeah, there would be.
And some sex.
Some dialogue choices.
And some dialogue choices.
All right. Next question comes from Kalupu.
Kalupu.
Kalupu. I love that name. It makes
that
me
is
alive.
A good name.
Blizzard's job opportunities, it shows a lot of WoW 3D artist openings, but there's also a top secret next-gen MMO 3D artist. What do you think Blizzard's going to do this time? Diablo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Diablo. Because StarCraft's already under development for the
right.
real-time strategy.
And you know my thoughts on next Diablo. People that made the first two Diablo games aren't going to be doing the third one.
Yeah, but they made Hellgate London, so were they really that good? Because Hellgate London is pretty terrible from what I hear.
Yeah, well,
I mean, heard it was...
It's basically just a Diablo clone, basically, even though it's made by the same people.
Well, I mean, a lot of people that were with Diablo made Guild Wars.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it might be a good game. Like Diablo 3, it might be good, but it might be lacking in soul and spirit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, nobody can say that Blizzard doesn't know how to make an MMO, obviously.
Yeah.
So, I pretty much, and nobody can say that Blizzard doesn't know how to make a Diablo game. So,
you think?
I mean, if you put them both together, I can imagine that a Diablo
here's a crazy
MMO
idea
would be
though.
Good, but
how about Blizzard come up with a new IP?
What?
I just blew the world's mind.
Yeah.
I tell you, between orcs and elves, aliens. And demons.
What else is there?
There's got to be another genre. Maybe they can make a military. Like,
I don't know if I'd
You know.
Yeah, I couldn't see a military.
Well, they can do something. They have three IPs. They need a fourth. God, Jesus.
They really, I don't know. I mean, to me, if, you know, World of Warcraft, we've got. StarCraft II, we've got. So the only license they have left is Diablo.
Diablo.
So, I mean, that's... If you told me, you know, like you did, that Blizzard was filing patents for an MMO, I'd guess it would be Diablo, because they don't have anything else.
I don't know. Think about it. Warcraft was originally a strategy game.
Right.
Then it became an MMO.
Right.
Maybe they're going to do the same thing with StarCraft.
StarCraft doesn't fit it as well, though, as Diablo does. Like, Warcraft fits it because it's orcs and elves and all that kind of stuff. StarCraft, what are you going to have? You're going to have to add guns and machine guns.
Yeah, but I mean...
I can still see it.
There's been games.
I can see a StarCraft MMO.
But I could see a Diablo one first. I could see that before that, because if you think about StarCraft universe, it has so many vehicles.
Yeah.
And a lot of the character comes from the vehicles. Like, you know StarCraft, you think siege tank. You think carrier. You know, you think all of the vehicles.
Yeah.
The characters, you might remember Kerrigan, you know, or what's the guy's name, Raynor, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, you don't remember them as well as you remember a siege tank.
Maybe you'll have a combined MMO vehicle MMO in the StarCraft universe.
It'd be kind of like a MMO.
You're reaching now.
Like a Battlefield StarCraft MMO.
Wow.
Boo hiss. It's Diablo.
I got to disagree. It's StarCraft.
I still think it's... I think it's more than likely going to be Diablo, but I would like to see an MMO in the StarCraft universe.
I'd like to see anything in the StarCraft universe.
I bet you would.
Just give me anything. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I have one game that I held on to now for 15 years. I need another one.
I want to get a StarCraft lunchbox. That'd be pretty sweet.
He has a second question, too, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to pick this. His second question is, which one are you most excited for, Ninja Gaiden 2 or Street Fighter 4?
Is both an answer?
No, we have to pick one.
I can't.
I can pick one.
Well, don't leave the world in suspense.
I would say Street Fighter 4, because it's been like 8 years.
Yeah, that's true.
But with Ninja Gaiden... We had Sigma just last year for PS3. I mean, granted, it's the same game, but still. And then we have the upcoming DS game. So, I mean, there's plenty of
Yes, because Ninja Gaiden's been done to death. Street Fighter has never been done to death.
Well, it's been done to death, but it was back in the 80s and 90s that it was been done to death. And it's kind of, you know, like a return. You know, it's like the return.
I'd have to go with Ninja Gaiden.
It's like the Empire Strikes Back, you know.
I'm so torn, because Street Fighter is probably my favorite, if not one of my very, 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 very close to favorite game series of all time. So that really, really, really makes me want it. But I'm still kind of hesitant until we see more stuff. So I'm kind of torn. I'm right down the middle. Because Ninja Gaiden 2, just from what I've seen so far, it looks like it's going to be really good, because we've seen it in motion.
Yeah.
And... Street Fighter 4, we haven't seen it in motion yet. So I'm going to hold my answer back until we see Street Fighter in motion.
Well, there you go. You have one, and a middle ground.
All right.
I would almost say Super Street Fighter HD, almost on the same level as those two games.
I'm really looking forward to the HD Street Fighter. I'm really also looking forward to seeing how many frickin' Microsoft points it's going to cost.
It's going to be like...
It'll be 1,600?
Yeah, wouldn't shock me.
It's going to take a whole card.
All right, then we got two more questions from our favorite question asker, Lil Bush.
Lil Bush!
With all the rumors of these games, do you honestly think that Gears 2, God of War 2, Resistance 2 will make it out in
2008?
Is it God of War 3? Yeah. I don't fucking know. Numbers just don't mean anything to me anymore. do you think they will all make it out in 2008?
No. that's my professional opinion.
Your professional opinion? My Resistance 2... is the only one I'm on the fence about. I think God of War may make it. It may go to March. I think Gears will be here.
Yeah, Gears will launch in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they've already got the engine down. I mean...
Here's my theory. When you see a game in action, it's still going to be at least 12 months away.
So you say, but Rainbow Six Vegas was just announced this month, and it's coming out in March.
Well, that's Rainbow Six.
Rainbow Six 3 Vegas?
Yeah.
That's just I'm going to kill you. That's one of my favorite games, man.
Yeah,
that game
yeah.
is incredible.
Yeah, no, but I mean, crap.
he's just saying that the Rainbow Six engine is unlikely to be too much different. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Gears of War, I don't expect to be much different, so I see that in 08. Resistance 2, maybe, because the engine's already there, but I don't know because they haven't talked about a Resistance 2 yet.
If I had to guess, I would say that Gears 2 and Resistance 2 will probably be out fall of 2008, just because, like I said, they've already done... They've already got the engine done. It's going to be on the same system that the engine was built on. So really all it is optimizing. By November 2008, Epic will have had 2 years to work on Gears 2.
Yeah, there's no saying that Cliffy's not working on it now.
Right. So I think Gears 2 will be out in 2008. I think Resistance 2 will be out in 2008 because I think they're probably busting on it right now. And they've already got the engine in place. Once again, it's just optimizing it for the next year. God of War 3, no. That's March of 09, I think.
I think March, too.
But just because, you know, they haven't done anything on the next-gen systems yet.
No, I think they're working on the game.
Oh, yeah,
but I don't think that it's going to be in 08.
No.
I'm thinking that all these games will be announced at, like, E3, and you'll see video footage, maybe even have some playable demos. But... I'm thinking at the most, one of the games will maybe come out by the end of 08. And then the other two will probably not be out until at least March or summer of 09.
Right.
All right. His second part of his first question is, also with the recent GTA 4 trailer, is the hype back?
It's getting there. I don't think it's quite where it needs to be yet. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's
they've got
a little bit more hyped up.
They've got quite a few. Well, not quite a few. They've got, you know, 3-4 more months.
I still say it's going to get delayed till Christmas.
You think so?
I think it'll be October, November.
I don't know.
I really think it's going to get delayed again. I mean, I just got this gut feeling.
I'm hoping that they can get it out. But you know, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, you can debate right now what the hype's like for GTA 4 and if it's high enough, but. You know, a month before release, once they start showing commercials on TV, the hype is going to be out of control because it's Grand Theft Auto. I mean, there are so many people who will jump on the next-gen train for this game that I think, you know, month, 2 months before it comes out, they start showing commercials on TV, it's going to be insane.
Yeah. It'll also be very interesting to see which one sells more.
It will be.
That will be interesting.
There's going to be pandemonium in the streets.
See if it moves PS3s or if it moves 360s.
Right.
By chance. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't think it'll be a system seller. I think it'll be an established system seller.
See, I think it'll be a system seller. I just don't know which system it's going to sell.
Right. That's the difficulty.
And that's the curiosity that I have right now. Are people that are PlayStation loyal, are they going to go with the more expensive system and buy Grand Theft Auto? Or are they just going to buy a 360 and buy Grand Theft Auto?
Well, and get exclusive downloaded content for the 360.
But most of the people that buy it, I don't think are going to care about that. I don't think that penetration online. I think that's going to be for the people that already own the system.
Right.
They're going to be really excited about that.
So, no, to answer your question, it's not fully back yet. But... give it a couple months and...
Give it a couple months and it'll be just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You think Halo 3 was overhyped.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto is going to be... I guess overhyped isn't the right word, but you think Halo 3 was hyped. Grand Theft Auto is going to be insane.
Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet.
There you go.
All right.
That was pretty good.
No, it wasn't. Last question is between God of War 3, Devil May Cry 4, and Ninja Gaiden 2. There's a lot of questions about these games. Which one do you think will be the ultimate blood and guts action-adventure game? He loves all three franchises, by the way. If you're speaking typically blood, guts, and gore, I'm going with Ninja Gaiden after seeing that trailer.
Yeah, that's a lot of blood and guts.
My Jesus.
But
that's gross shit.
That is. it's no secret to anybody who's listened to the podcast for a long time that I'm not really a huge fan of the Devil May Cry series, so that's probably going to get me a lot of hate mail.
Probably.
But... So for me, it's between God of War 3 and Ninja Gaiden 2. I com- completely honestly, like I said before, I don't think God of War 3 will be out next year, so I don't think it's going to be competing with Ninja Gaiden 2, to be honest. But as much as I love Ninja Gaiden, I think if God of War can build on what the first two did on with the power of a next-gen system, I mean, because think about how good God of War 1 and 2 looked on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, I'm very excited to see what God of War 3 is going to look like. I'm very excited.
I think, you know, if they can make a game that epic on the PlayStation 2, I can't imagine what it's going to look like on the PS3. Like I said, though, I don't think they're going to be in direct competition because Ninja Gaiden's next year, and I don't think God of War is still 2008.
No. So. We'll see video footage of God of War in 08.
I'm sure we'll see the game.
Yeah, but we'll see the game definitely, but I think it's going to be an 09 release.
Regardless, so, it's going to be a good year for action games.
Yeah, it is.
Over the next year.
And in terms of blood and guts, I think Devil May Cry 4 will be the short end of the stick because it's just stylized. It's not really violent.
No, Devil May Cry's never been overly violent.
Yeah,
God of War has been, but Ninja Gaiden just taking it to a whole new level.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
almost Mortal Kombat level.
Yeah.
Well,
heads and body parts flying everywhere.
It wouldn't shock me if some of that makes its way into God of War 3 as well, because they were limited on what they could do blood and gore wise on the PlayStation 2, just in terms of architecture. So I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of limb severing in God of War 3 as well.
Oh yeah.
So
always like to see the body parts go flying.
Right.
And they'll probably do some things in, because with the God of War games, they always do ingenious ways to show violence.
Right.
Not just hacking and slashing, but like in the first game where you have to set the dude on fire to solve that puzzle.
Right.
Like demented stuff.
Right.
I'm thinking with next-gen hardware, they're going to take that to a whole new level.
They did that in God of War 2 with the guy that was being picked at to death by the bird.
Right.
Yeah.
That was very nice. It should be interesting, but either way, all three games are top tier, and if you're fans, you should buy them all, because they're going to be great games, and you're going to get them in good little succession. Devil May Cry's hitting in February, Ninja Gaiden probably in November, and then God of War probably in March.
Yeah.
So, all right, now we're going to move on to our lists.
These are our personal top 10 lists for the year.
Yes, these are all personalized.
These are not the News for Gamers podcast radio awards.
No, that will definitely be when we come back. That will take a lot of time and debate and probably some food fights and maybe some pillow fights.
Right.
But anyway.
Some pillow fights.
Wow. What? That, you probably just scared half of our listeners off and turned the other half on.
And made half of them laugh. And three halves doesn't make a whole.
No, especially when we've only got five people listening to begin with.
Yeah.
There you go.
The math in this show is
boggling.
The math in this show is quite like the Jaguar. I did the math, and it didn't come out right.
It didn't come out right.
All right, so we'll start with you, Mr. Khan. I'm sure a lot of people are very interested to know what your top 10 game. Are you going to start with your top 10, or are you going to talk about your honorable mentions first?
I'm going to do my honorable mentions first.
Yeah, if I do that, I'm probably going to get burned at the stake, but go ahead.
Okay, my top 10 games of the year. First off, my honorable mentions. These are games that did not make the list, but came very close. Virtual Fighter 5.
Ooh.
Ooh. That wasn't a boo. That was a ooh.
We have a listening audience. We have a studio audience.
Very good game. Very good game. Fantastic. I love it. Another honorable mention is Blue Dragon.
Blue Dragon.
Oh, yeah. It's a good game. Good RPG. Good traditional RPG.
Oh, skoo.
Oh, my God. Another honorable mention is Persona 3. I never thought an RPG that took place mostly in high school could be so fun and engaging.
He's got quotes for his top 10. I'm waiting
on this. I got a couple quotes.
That might be a good thing to do. Every game that you announce on your top 10, you got to say one sentence about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And it can't be good, fantastic. Love that game.
Yeah. Contra 4.
These are all still honorable mentions.
Yes. Yeah, these are still honorable mentions. Contra 4. All I got to say is tough love.
Oh.
And the last honorable mention is Planet Puzzle League. because I like to relax with it.
And I like to kick back with Planet Puzzle League.
Me and Planet Puzzle League spend time down by the fire.
Yeah, we spend time down with the river.
We cuddle.
Yes.
All right, here's my top 10.
Oh, here we go. Starting at, hold on, number 10.
Number 10 is Pac-Man CE Championship Edition for the Xbox Live Arcade. This game is fantastic. Well, I actually have a quote for this game.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
If heaven was made out of neon lights, and Inky and Blinky and all the other ghosts were angels, then Pac-Man CE would be heaven on earth.
Wow. That's quite nice. That makes me feel warm right in the pit of my chest.
I think I choked in the pit of my chest.
Oh my god, I'm getting choked up myself.
Don't cry on me now.
All right, and number nine is...
Number
nine is Jeanne d'Arc. Because...
Every time you say that, I think Joanna d'Arc.
Yeah, Joanna d'Arc, yeah. That could be the quote. Every time I think about it, I think about Perfect Dark. Except it's, you know, strategy.
Not Perfect Except Dark. It's French.
Right.
It's a French strategy game.
Damn French.
With extremely good anime cutscenes, might I add. It's really good. Done by Production IG, the same people that did the animation for the Ghost in the Shell series.
Useless Trivia 101!
Yeah, Useless Trivia. Look it up on Wikipedia.com. Oh, yeah. And then number eight.
Number eight!
Is
Crackdown! Crackdown!
Wow.
I just love that game. It's good.
It is good.
You collect agility orbs all the time. And it's addictive.
It is very addictive.
Yeah.
Extremely.
It's like candy. It's like crack, man. Yeah, it's literally like crack.
It's like crack, man.
That's a lot more than one sentence.
Yeah. It's not quite quotable.
But it is Crackdown.
It is Crackdown. And then number seven.
Number seven!
Ah.
This list is taking forever.
Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles for the PSP. Buy it today at your nearest game store.
That's your quote for that game?
Yeah, that is.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number six, Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Because it's good. It's good to be the dude.
The dude.
Yeah.
Das dude.
I'm getting choked up here. Number five is the Orange Box. And for some reason, this game makes me hungry for some oranges.
I still think that it should be excluded, but continue.
Well, it does have Portal and Team Fortress
right,
2.
Right.
Episode 2.
Yeah, Episode 2. Electric Boogaloo. And then, number four!
It's like an echo going on.
Is Halo 3.
Oh.
That's the quote.
Nice.
The quote is...
God, Jesus.
That's the quote right there.
Thank you.
That's all I need
to say. Thank you very much. Good night.
And then, Number three is... Mass Effect. Yeah. And the thing is, this game would have been number one if the frame rate issue was smooth and if the boss battles weren't cheap. If the gameplay was more refined, this would have been number one.
Good.
But since it's a flawed masterpiece, granted, it is a masterpiece, it's a great game if you're into RPGs, if you're into science fiction, space operas, I say must buy. Then number two is BioShock. And I have a quote for BioShock.
Okay.
This is a GambusCon quote.
Okay, buttwheat.
Yeah, here it goes. If Walt Disney and Adolf Hitler created a psychologically disturbing ride through a secular hell. That ride would be BioShock.
Oh my Jesus.
Wow.
I think he just defended the world.
Wow.
Adolf Hitler and Walt Disney have a lot more in common than you think they do.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was my BioShock quote.
Okay, then. Stupendous.
And then, number one.
Oh, Casey Kasem, stop hating it.
Casey Kasem. Yeah. Number one is Super Mario Galaxy.
Woohoo!
For the Nintendo Wii.
It's a me, Mario.
And I got a quote for this game, too.
Oh, I hope it's as good as the last one.
Okay. Super Mario Galaxy.
Mario kind of looks like him.
Yeah, Mario does kind of look like me. But anyway.
That's not what I said.
Oh,
continue on.
Keep going.
Okay. I was coughing.
We're going to blow past that.
I didn't fully hear what you said. Super Mario Galaxy made me feel like a 12-year-old boy while looking at Victoria's Secret. What is this? This isn't the right quote. This isn't the right quote.
Oh, my Jesus.
Okay, here's the right quote. If Skittles are...
Okay, go. I went to Skittles. Oh.
Okay, here it goes. If Skittles are the successor to gummy bears, the Super Mario Galaxy is the successor to Mario 64.
I didn't understand a single word of what that fuck.
I don't know what it means, but it made me laugh because it's Skittles and gummy bears. Everything's a darkened sky. Okay, we ready to move on?
Yeah. Sky.
Oh, God. I'm crying.
And
I'm trying to
get myself together.
Wow. Okay. You go right ahead with your list there, Wombo.
All right. Honorable mentions on my list. I don't have quite as extensive a list as Gambus. I cut my honorable mentions down to three to keep it simple. Castlevania, Dracula X Chronicles for the PSP. It's a fantastic game. If you haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, go pick it up if you have a PSP. It's got Rondo of Blood and everybody's favorite Symphony of the Night on it. It's definitely worth the purchase. Second is a combined. I stole this from Zero. It's a combined game. Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah.
I combined them both on there. Guitar Hero 3 for the ability to play it by yourself and Rock Band for the party atmosphere. My other honorable mention is Crackdown. For the sheer amount of fun.
Boo! It's not on your top 10.
Shut up. For the sheer amount of fun that I had with it, I'm gonna go ahead and throw that as an honorable mention, even though it's not on my list. Zero is pissed off about it.
I am
so
upset.
You got four honorable mentions.
Well, Guitar Hero and Rock Band, you know.
Yeah, Guitar Hero and Rock Band are combined into one. Because it's one aspect of each that puts it on my honorable
mention. And that would be a very expensive game if you bought both of them.
It'd be a very expensive game of the year.
And I have one other mention, too, that's not technically on the list, but that'll come last.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I know all about that one.
All right. Number 10 is God of War 2. A lot of people forgot it came out this year because of the deluge of good games that came out here at the end. But it was really, really good. Epic storytelling and really makes me look forward to 3. Number 9 is Assassin's Creed. Because despite its flaws, it's one of the games I enjoyed playing most this year. So, and that's I should clarify that my list isn't about the most technically perfect games of the year. It's about the games that I had the most fun playing.
And that's what it should be about.
And that's what it should be about. Number 8 was MLB 2007 The Show. Take your pick of which console. It was on PSP, PS2, PlayStation 3. One of the best baseball games ever created. The career mode is fantastic, and I sank so many hours into this game this year that it's pathetic. Number seven! Sforza 2. Endless customization. The racing was great. Graphics were great. It's the best racing game I played this year. Number six! Call of Duty 4 is my number 6 game of the year. graphics are completely ridiculously incredible. The multiplayer is great. If the single player was longer, it probably would have scored higher on my list than number six. Number five is BioShock.
BioShock!
It's a little lower than some people would have placed it, but I thought BioShock was great, and the story is great, the gameplay is great. It didn't, however, suck me in quite as much as it did some other people. Just personal preference, I guess. I thought it was a fantastic game and a technical achievement, but for some reason it just didn't pull me in the way it did some other people. Number four,
dun, 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 dun,
top four,
ooh,
is Halo 3 is my number four. I liked the single player a lot. I did not like the ending all that much. But the multiplayer is, you know, Halo 2 with added features, which puts it, you know, the top of my multiplayer list for the year. And the video file saving is completely revolutionary and something that I see a lot of games stealing from here on out. So Halo 4 gets the fourth position. Number three is Super Mario Galaxy, which is, once again, a technical achievement, especially on the Wii. It's gorgeous, and it's an absolute blast to play. So it gets my number three spot.
True dat.
Number two
dun, dun, dun.
Is
uh-oh.
Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
My God!
Oh,
which,
my God!
Is hands down one of the funnest games that I've played all year. I've talked before about the character development. The story is great. It really sucks you in, makes you feel like you're a part of it. The gun battles, while slightly frustrating and difficult, are a blast. And just the character animation, the graphics, everything combines together to make the second best console experience this year. And my number one,
let me guess,
game of the year that I'm going to get some flack over.
Let me guess. Two worlds.
Wait. Is Mass Effect. Because despite its flaws, it still, to me, is the funnest game that I played this year. It's got so much depth. And the storyline, I read the prequel novel. I've played the game, not all the way through, obviously, yet. But and the storyline, the world, the characters in it, the entire universe that the game takes place in is just fantastic to me. And it's good enough that it lets me look past the frame rate issues and the texture pop in to make it my favorite game of the year.
There you go.
And my last award is the best game named Two Worlds to come out on the 360 the same time Two Worlds came out this year. And that would be Kane and Lynch Dead Man. No, I'm kidding. Two Worlds gets an honorable mention from me just because if I didn't, you know, it would disappoint a whole lot of people.
It would disappoint.
It's the best game to be called Two Worlds.
This year.
It came out on the 360.
It's the best game to completely suck in just about every way this year, but I still had a blast with it. So
there
it's
you
on
go.
The list.
There you go.
It's the guilty pleasure of the year.
There you go.
Onward
to you.
I guess it leaves me. I have to preface this by saying that I'm going to name four honorable mentions, and when these four games fall into honorable mentions, you have no idea how great of a year it has been.
Absolutely.
Virtua Fighter 5, pick your system of choice, but I would go with 360 for online play and just in-depth fighting. Gorgeous game.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. MotorStorm, best-looking racing game I've ever played, plus the crashes in slow motion were great.
It was
a phenomenal game, and the online smooth as butter.
Freaking
loved that
sweet
game. Orange Box, I put in there simply because I got five kick-ass games for $60. And then that's just an incredible deal.
Yeah. I'm gonna hold my tongue.
And I'm going to catch so much hell for this.
Uh-oh. This is it. This is it right here.
Halo 3 is an honorable mention. And the reason behind this is that I'm more of a single-player guy, and all the games on my top 10 list had a better single-player experience for me.
Not all of them.
That's an opinion.
Dun, dun,
no,
dun.
Actually, it's not an opinion.
Uh-oh.
Shut up. There's a game on my list that's not single-player.
Right.
Eat it.
Catch fight.
I forgot.
This corner.
but seriously, I love the co-op. I love the multiplayer, but the single-player experience by itself didn't do much for me. I didn't play the multiplayer as much, and I think that was due in part that I enjoyed Call of Duty more. I think was really the big thing. I love Halo 3. I think it's well worth $60, and it was well worth the score I gave it. But it was not my most, one of my 10 most enjoyable experiences of the year. So, with that said, I'll start off with number 10, and I'm going to get hell for this, too.
Uh-oh.
Blue Dragon is number 10. Not since Final Fantasy VII have I enjoyed a traditional RPG this much. I absolutely adore this game. I adore the characters, I adore the art style, I adore the story. I love this game, and I played it well more than most games I played this year. At number 9, Uncharted comes in, which surprised me that it made it up there above Halo to me. But I really enjoyed this game. From the beautiful locations to the solid gunplay to great characters. I love Uncharted. It's a great game. God of War 2 tracks in at number 8 because Kratos ripping people apart is just sheer fun.
It never
fun.
Stops being fun.
It never stopped. That game was great from beginning to end, and I loved it.
Another thing about the God of War games is the complex set pieces that the action takes place in.
Right.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the giant titan that is, like, trying to kill you throughout the first stage.
My favorite set piece in God of War 2 is actually the giant stone horses that are pulling the... absolutely gorgeous set piece. And the background doesn't get enough credit in the God of War series as far as creating that epic scale. But it's, I mean, that's the one thing for me. The backgrounds are amazing every year.
I actually picked up the God of War the limited edition strategy guide that came with the art book because when I saw the art book, when I saw the pictures inside of it, I was like, man, I got to have this because I think the artwork in that game is like,
it would probably
freaking
be my,
amazing.
It would probably be my choice for most technologically impressive game for the hardware that it's on this year.
Right.
Just because it's beautiful. And I'll move on to number 7, which was a shocker to me, but I can't help it. Warhawk for the PS3. Best online experience I've had on the PlayStation 3 so far, and one of the most enjoyable online experiences I've had all year. It's just fun. And that's the most important thing to me, is just having fun. And I have fun every time I play it. So that definitely made my list. Number 6 is my Guitar Hero Rock Band collaboration. They're one band to me, man. They're one band to me.
One band.
Guitar Hero is all about the songs and the note charts and being extremely hard and challenging. And the song list is incredible. Whereas Rock Band is all about the party experience and getting everybody together and making complete asses of yourself and having a ball with it.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
So, and then I throw Guitar Hero 2 in there as well because it came out this year.
Yes,
and it was on the 360. It came out this year on the 360, and I played the utter shit out of that game. So, that's one big jumble of three games at number 6. Number 5 is Call of Duty 4, because the single-player experience is just incredible. Best first-person shooter single-player experience I had all year. I mean, it was just incredible. And the multiplayer is super addictive. So,
you know, that would probably be on my list, too, because, you know, I hear all good things about Call of Duty 4.
It's really good.
And the only reason why it's not on my top 10 list is technically because I have not played it.
Yes. Because if you played it, it would have been on your list.
Yeah. It's one of those games that I really want to play and I want to pick up, but there's just been so many games lately that have come out.
Right.
That once it gets, you know, a little bit more quieter in terms of releases, I'll pick that up.
Definitely a great game. Number 4 is, in my opinion, the greatest single-player experience I had all year, which was BioShock. Love that game. From beginning to end, I'm actually playing through it again in a different form. I've never felt compelled to a game. Like, it never moved me like BioShock did. The environments were great.
Yeah.
The art direction was great. The sound, which gets overlooked in everything, was freaking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So, BioShock, definitely top tier. Now I get into my top 3. My top 3!
Dun, dun, dun!
Number 3 is Mass Effect. For the sole purpose of that storyline, the dialogue trees and the interaction with all the characters is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that this is the best story-driven game that I've played all year, by far.
Definitely.
I mean, it's so cinematic, it's so good. Granted, the combat kind of stinks, and the graphics have problems, but best story. I've played all year. Number two, this surprised a lot of people, Crackdown. I cannot tell you that since that game was released in February, how much of it I have played. I'm talking in the hundreds of hours I've played that game. And I still play. I played it a week ago. I mean, and that's just how much I play. And that's what I gauge what my favorite games are, is how much I play them. And Crackdown has been played nonstop.
It's one of those games that you always come back to.
Oh, yeah. If I'm not in the mood to sit down and go through something I haven't played, I will put Crackdown in. I mean, that's the kind of game it is. And I can do nothing and have a ball. And that's why it's my number two game.
Oh, yeah, having superpowers, jumping from rooftop to rooftop, being able to toggle bodies with rocket launchers. I mean, that doesn't really get old.
Throwing cars off of rooftops.
Yeah.
That's always one of my favorites. And my number one game, Kane and Lynch Dead Men.
No. Cha-ching!
Super Mario Galaxy for the Nintendo Wii. And I think that the entire listening audience's heads just exploded, that me, the Xbox 360 fanboy's favorite game of the year, was on the Nintendo Wii. The system that I've spent 40 episodes ridiculing and making fun of is the home to my number one game. And the single reason is that Super Mario Galaxy is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It is just one of the best things I've ever played. It's Mario!
It's a Mario-ster piece.
A Mario-ster.
A Mario-ster piece?
Yeah, that could be your quote for the back of the box.
There you go.
The Mario-ster piece. That's terrible.
Well,
that sounds like good. A disease.
But I can see...
Sorry, son, you've got the Mario-ster piece.
I can actually see Nintendo using that quote, though.
A Mario-ster piece?
Yeah.
Well, it's in...
Well, if you want to... You know where to contact me.
He'll be at IDOS.
Just have the guy in the trench coat offer me $100 for it, and we'll be in good shape.
You're all about $100, ain't you?
Yeah.
People from Two Worlds must have given you a lot of $100.
Hey, I'm not at liberty to discuss my situation.
Signed the non-disclosure agreement. Thank you. But that wraps up our top 10 games personally, and this is our sign off for a while. When we come back
in about 3 weeks.
When we come back, we will have the Game of the Year Awards ready to go, and that will be the entire show. There will be nothing else in that show.
No fondling your console?
Nope.
No
No news? No questions? No new releases?
And it'd be the episode before Christmas?
Yeah, I believe it'll be the episode
before. It'll be the episode after Christmas, right? Won't it be the...
Well, we'll play it by ear.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll see.
Either way, it'll be basically, essentially, the
it'll
Christmas
be our holiday
episode.
Our holiday
the Christmas/New Year episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it'll be.
So whenever we do come back, we will definitely let you know, and we will have the Game of the Year Awards, and that'll be the whole show. And it'll be an event that you don't want to miss.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we'd like to thank everybody for listening, as always.
And we'd like to congratulate Zero Tolerance on his upcoming wedding.
Yes.
I got so many things in the thread after last week. I didn't say it before that episode.
Right.
But last week they were just... So right. I had like 20 threads, so...
Yeah, congratulations.
So congratulations.
Yes, it will be a fun week.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, who knows? Maybe the podcast will be different when we come back.
Yes, because when you get married, you change. You transform into the Hulk.
You do.
You didn't know. Look at him. I mean, how do you think he got so buff?
Ever since I got married, I turned green and ripped my pants on a regular basis.
I do that, but that's just because I eat funny foods. Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan,
catch
if you would be.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
The sun will rise, burning faces staring back at it, you'll see the light as it shines for so bright, you can't deny what we had was something special. And I wait on the day when you are finally out of my mind.
God of War at 10 and make Two Worlds a special super ultra number one.
Special super ultra micro edition.
That's what we're doing. God of War at 10 and make Two Worlds number one.